Welcome to another edition of Power Talk. This is Tony Robbins, and I'm very excited today to share with you a person I consider to be a great friend, not only to myself, but all men and women in the world. He's an extraordinary human being. His name is Dr. John Gray, and he's the best-selling author of a book I'm sure you've heard of, because it's been the number one bestseller forever, called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. He also wrote a book titled called What Your Mother Couldn't Tell You and Your Father Didn't Know, and then his newest book, which is Mars and Venus in the Bedroom. And he's written several others as well, but he's an amazing genius, and he's allowed us the privilege to come across the Golden Gate Bridge and arrive here in Mill Valley at his offices. It used to be, I guess, your home.
Yes.
And I just want to thank you for having us, John.
It's a real pleasure.
Great. Well, let's start out with this metaphor that is dominating the culture now. People all over the country and around the world are talking about this thing that started out in your book where you said, once upon a time, these two groups of people used to get together and have great relationships, and then something happened. Tell us, what is that metaphor, if you would, Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus, and maybe give us a little idea about how it evolved for you, and what's the promise of it? What does the understanding really give us? I'd really like to know the history of it, though, too, because I read one of your early books that I'd not seen before, and it was back in 1989, and you'd already had the metaphor. It wasn't as popular then, so give me a sense of that.
Well, to start with, the metaphor itself, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, I remember when I first submitted my book, I was Xeroxing a copy of it, it was right on the counter, and a woman looked at it and went, that's right. I mean, everybody hears this title, they go, that's right, they're from Mars, or yes, they're from Venus. And it's such a, people today are hungry to have a positive way of looking at differences between men and women.
Yes.
Because what's been happening is that when we show up differently in a relationship, we tend to think, what's wrong with my partner?
Right.
What flaw is that? Or they need to go to therapy to fix that. Instead of realizing there's certain differences about men and women which are very healthy, but they're different. One's not better than the other. So I started teaching this about 12 years ago, the gender differences, and then it wasn't such a popular subject. And matter of fact, lots of people get all upset and think it was sexism and whatever, and I kept working at with my groups how to do it in a way where nobody heard it in a negative way, how to create a positive way. Nobody's offended by it. And there were other people at the time doing this as well. I'm not the first, but what really motivated me to come up with a metaphor of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus is other people were using another metaphor, which was, it's like we live in different countries, which is also a good metaphor.
Right.
So I thought, how can I come up with another way? And it was just, we're from different planets. And when I started talking about it, my audiences loved it. And they would come back and say, you got to tell them about the Martian Venusian thing. And then I developed the whole story, which is, you know, it's good to have a story to sort of hold on to. Is the Martians discovered the Venusians. They flew to Venus. They arrived on Venus. They had great relationships, wonderful relationships. And they went on a honeymoon to Earth. And that's kind of what happens. Man meets woman, they fall in love, they go on the honeymoon, and then they hit bottom, they hit Earth. You know, the real problems of life sort of come up. But what happens when they hit Earth is when they arrived on Earth, this lush place, but the spaceship crashed, and they were fine, everything was all right, except one problem. They had selective amnesia. They forgot they were from different planets. And as soon as we forget that we're supposed to be different, as soon as they forgot they're from different planets, then the fight started coming in. Then the tension started coming in because they did one thing. They started trying to change each other instead of nurture each other just the way they are. Because naturally, if someone's feeling loved the way they are, they're going to grow and become more. And I think some people's fears, when they misunderstand the title of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, they think what I might be saying is, well, men and women are so different, they'll never change, they'll never understand each other, they'll never get along. And that's the opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying if you accept someone's differences, then you can begin to understand the validity of who they are. Couples have told me, they'll say, gosh, we used to fight all the time till we read your book. And suddenly, we've always loved each other. We just stopped trying to change each other.
Right.
Once we gave up trying to change each other, we stopped fighting.
Plus, if we're all completely the same, then where is the variety of your life? Where is the texture of life? I mean, you know, if you made somebody into who you wanted them to be exactly in your own vision, there'd be no surprise. There'd be none of the opportunities that give so much of the joy to life.
You know, one of the things I tell couples a lot is that when they're complaining about some of the differences or whatever, as I say, you wouldn't be attracted to each other if there weren't differences. It's like, I'm attracted to my wife, Bonnie. She has certain qualities that I don't automatically express.
Right.
They're deep inside me, but through loving her and having a relationship with her and sometimes struggling to validate her point of view, which isn't always easy, okay, to see the value.
I'm gonna play this tape for her, John.
Right. So, but when I have to sort of stretch my consciousness to include her awareness in mine, it makes me a better person. It makes me a more loving person, a more compassionate person. But I make a lot of better decisions in life as well. I mean, I'm more of who I can be through loving someone who's different from me.
Well, then let's get right to it then. Tell me, what's the difference between a Martian and a Venusian? Let's talk about what are some of the emotional need differences, maybe some communication differences as well.
Well, I think the easiest way to see the differences, which I like to focus on now, is when we look at what are some of the biggest mistakes men and women make in relationships.
Great. What was one of my questions?
One of the things that women will do as a normal Venusian thing, and this isn't a mistake, but we men don't understand it and we make mistakes about it. A woman will tend to come home from the day. She has a stressful day, whether she's working or she's been with the kids all day, whichever, or both. She comes home, husband comes home. First thing she wants to do is talk. She wants to talk about everything that went wrong that day. She, oh, this happened, and this happened, I can't believe this happened, and why didn't you call then,
and that,
you
know. And the guy's going, I came home to escape all that.
That's it, that's the Martian thing. See, but Martians come home, and men come home, and they've got all their stress. They want to forget their problems, they want to leave their problems behind. Women come home, they have those problems, they want to talk about their problems, and what we don't know as men is that when they're talking about it, we think we're supposed to solve those problems.
Right.
We think that she won't be happy, she can't relax, unless those problems get solved. Because for us, we have two ways of dealing with problems. We either solve them, or if there's nothing we can do to solve it, we temporarily forget it.
Right.
So the fact that she's bringing these issues up, we think... It adds to our burden. We feel like, gosh, I've just been working all day. Now I got to solve these problems. And another hidden burden is the man instinctively feels, well, she's got all these problems. She's not going to be a happy woman until we solve them all.
Right.
So that's why he starts being really... In a hurry, in a sense, to this is what you have to do about this, and don't worry about this,
What happens when he starts to try and solve these problems?
So that's where the tension comes in between men and women, because as soon as he starts trying to solve the problems, the feeling she has is he's trying to shut her up, that he doesn't care about what she's going through. Starts to feel, you're not listening. So then what she'll say is, honey, he'll say, this is what you ought to do. And she'll say, no, you don't understand. And he goes, what do you mean I don't understand? I heard what you said. Of course I understand. But what she really means when she says you don't understand is what she really means is, you don't understand, John. I don't want you to solve these problems. I don't want you to fix anything. I just want you to understand what I'm going through. I've had a difficult day. I just really want you to listen, empathize, make a few nice gestures, noises. Like,
But I do understand. That's why I want to help you.
That's right. And it is true. That's what men... They understand and they want to solve the problem, but what we have to learn is men.
Men say, why would we have talk about a problem and not do something
to solve
it?
That's right. What's the point in it? Why even talk about it? You know?
Every woman listening to say, listen to these two men having a great time talking about women.
Right.
So tell me then, so what should we do? What should men do specifically?
So the one of the techniques, and I think it's in my book, What Your Mother Couldn't Tell You, Your Father Didn't Know. It's skills, techniques that our fathers couldn't teach us. They didn't know. One of the skills in there I teach men is called ducking and dodging. Okay, when she's talking about problems, men hear it as solutions. I mean, right, that we're being called upon to solve it. And so what you do is just duck. Let it pass by. Let it pass by. Don't give the solution. Keep ducking. And sometimes women will say things like, which men take personally. She'll say things like, we never spend time together, or you never listen to me, or we're always rushing. And a guy will hear those expressions and he'll take them personally. What do you mean we're always rushing? We weren't rushing last Thursday night. I did a great job that night. That's called taking it personally. And of course, the woman will say, well, why can't you just listen? I'm not talking about you. And he says, well, you're talking about me. You're talking to me. It's about me.
Right.
So we have to that's called dodging. Just let it go by. Don't take it personally.
So, but when you let it go by, won't the woman feel like you're not listening?
Well, certainly, she could feel like you're not listening if you're kind of inside going, okay, let the old lady talk for a while, you know, go on and on and on. You can't do that, you know, you can't be rolling your eyes.
So how do you actively listen?
Actively listening is you look in her direction is the first thing. And this is something
in her direction, not necessarily at her, but her direction.
look in her direction. Well, you know, I could say men just look right into her eyes, but most men, if you look right into a woman's eyes while she's talking about her feelings, your mind just goes blank. You don't know what she's saying. So just look sometimes in her eyes, but look in her direction. It's the first thing. Because you know what men will do when their wives talk is after about a minute or two, we start looking away. You know, either we're thinking about
Which
what she's saying,
it, right.
Our mind is getting distracted. So the first thing is body position, look in her direction. Second thing is movement of of body. Occasionally move your head up and down. You know, occasionally, you know, if she's going, oh, it was awful.
Fundamentals for the Cro-Magnon man.
That's right. Fundamentals for the Cro-Magnon man. But you know what? The reality is,
they just don't do it, even though it sounds so simplistic. Most of them don't do it.
But most of them don't do it.
Because men get in a trance when this happens. What they're trying to do is they're trying to fight this need to solve the problem.
Well, most guys are waiting. We're sitting there waiting till we can now do something about it. So when are you going to get to the point? What's the problem? Let me help you here. Then we'll go on and be happy. So we're in this waiting mode instead of actively listening.
So are you telling me that women are then happy while they're expounding about the problem? Is that true?
Well, this is the irony. They're not really happy while they're talking about the problem. Sometimes they'll become even more unhappy while they're talking about it. But when they're done, they'll be really happy.
Well, when will they be done? I'm going to get killed.
Here's
all the women listeners are going to kill me right now.
No, but it's just you're the ultimate Martian, Tony. There's no doubt about it. You are.
No, that's unfair, you know our point of view
very well, of course. But that's what a man's thinking when a woman is talking. She says, well, how long? And what I say to men is that you don't know how long. You never know how. But what you do is you realize that this is the thing you can do that will make a woman is happiest. If she knows when she comes home, she can share about her day and her partner will listen attentively. But you can't just put this all on men to do. There's a woman's role
in this whole thing.
You know, that's the flip side. Because men can't just do this without some help from women.
Right.
There's like, I talk about how men can listen without getting upset, and that's ducking and dodging. Don't give solutions, don't take it personally.
Right.
Now what we do when we give solutions, and this is really a relevant
point. But may I say this, but care about how they feel without having to solve it is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. You try to care about how they feel.
You try? Yeah, come
you
on,
try.
John.
No, but the reality is sometimes your wife's talking and a part of you is going, why is she talking about this? This isn't that important.
So I don't think it's just problems this happens with. I think sometimes it has to do with mutual goals or
desires. They're, for single women, for example, this is something they don't realize, a way they unknowingly turn off men. Because a woman could be driving through, a guy could be courting a woman and happen to be going by beautiful homes. And let's say he doesn't see one day him buying, being able to afford that home.
Right.
And she's over there going, wow, look at that home. It's beautiful. They got that pool in the back. Oh, I'd love to live in a home like that. She's just dreaming, like you're saying. He's thinking, she wants me to buy a house like that? She's got to have a pool like that? There's no way I'm going to be able to afford that for her. This woman, I'll never be able to please her. I'll never be able to make her happy. And then he'll start pulling away. And she wasn't saying, you've got to provide this for me.
Right.
She's just saying, wouldn't that be really wonderful?
What you're really describing is, if and tell me if this is accurate, is that women are more process-oriented as a gross generalization, because we have to say about all of this is these are metaphors.
Yeah,
and gross generalizations about the society as a whole. They aren't individuals because they're individual exceptions to all these people.
Right.
But as a generalization, understand another gender or another person from another planet. Are women then more process oriented, and does their physiology, you know, help to contribute to that? Because we have differences in our physiology that are very real.
Huge differences in physiology. And first, to answer the first question, yes, women tend to be much more process oriented. And men tend to be much more goal-oriented.
Completion, yeah.
So, completion-oriented. So, let's give an example of what that means for people, okay? Because process-oriented would mean my wife would come to me and want to talk about something, and she doesn't even have a goal in mind. She just knows there's problems or issues or something good to talk about, but she hasn't yet planned anything about it. She hasn't even thought about what we're going to do. She could be talking about Hawaii, and she's not yet even planning a vacation to Hawaii. Whereas a man, if he's going to go talk to his wife about Hawaii, he's going to first think, all right, maybe we ought to have a vacation in Hawaii. Let me go see if I can afford a vacation in Hawaii.
Right.
Let me see if there's some place I'd really want to go. Let me figure out the best island to go to. Then I'd say, honey, let's go on a vacation in Hawaii. What do you think? And her reaction is, what? You did all this planning and you're thinking about all this stuff and you didn't even include me? Isn't my point of view important to you? Because see, that's the whole thing. And even in business, women make this mistake a lot. They'll go to an upper level management position and they'll share problems with the upper level management. And the guy, particularly if it's a man, he'll think, so what are you going to do about it? And in many cases, she hasn't even gotten to the solution. She would feel it's rude to talk about the solution without first everybody having a voice to talk about the problem or talk about the issue. Once we fully talked about, that's the process of getting there. Then we decide where exactly we want to go, what we want to do about it.
Right.
So it's important that we understand the differences from each other's point of view.
Does physiology play a role in that? Or is that cultural conditioning or both?
Well, certainly there's some cultural conditioning here.
Sure.
But there's physiology, and that's what's becoming more and more known each year, and it's very exciting research, particularly in the brain. The brain research shows that men and women's brains, certainly there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences. And even more importantly, how we use our brains is different. Repeatedly, the studies, which are the most current studies, are showing men will tend to use one part of the brain at a time. It's like task-oriented, project-oriented.
Right.
What are we going to do? How are we going to get there? Whereas women will tend to use many parts of the brain at the same time.
Right.
So she could be exploring and talking and slowly developing her idea of what she wants to do or what she doesn't want to do. And I'm not saying men can't do this. But our tendency is, if there's a problem, let's get right to the solution. We have in our brain, there's certain hormones that allow us to control impulses. Men have less of those than women. Women will tend to, if they're upset about something, their tendency is to want to talk first before acting. Men will have a tendency, if there's distress or danger or lots of anger or hurt or fear, we want to do something right away.
Right.
So when we're talking to our wives, and she seems to be distressed about something, we immediately want to do something.
Right.
And this, you know, we said, why are we this different? Well, if you look back to, you know, the basic role we men have had in women's lives for thousands of years, if there's a problem, we have to go and you know, shoot an animal or kill somebody or do something. We're in the dangerous role. And when
right.
you have a dangerous job, you have to learn how to react fast.
Mm.
So when there's fear, you act fast. Whereas, so we have much faster reaction in our brain when there's emotions to do something, whereas women have much more reaction to talk about it.